All right, everybody, welcome back. It is the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus Musicians Mastermind for the week of March 21st. And welcome to the new world.
Yeah.
You can take all those podcasts we did in the last few months and just erase them. No, I'm kidding. Of course not. But we have a new situation. And I don't think we are ever going to go back to completely the way that it was. So those of us that are forward thinking, those of us that are like interested in new ideas, those of us that are, you know, creative and looking at new ways to do things, this could be a really great time for you, if you are that kind of person, to kind of go out and grab it by the cojones and say, all right, this is different. What are we going to do about this? As opposed to people that are like, you know, running for the hills, closing off, hiding, feeling like, you know, everything that they've worked for in their whole life is over. So, and you were, many of us are in between. Okay. But today we want to talk about like how to keep things going and where maybe to be concentrating when we get a situation like this, where I know a lot of you guys play gigs. I was just starting to going out and playing gigs for money. I landed a really sweet thing with this, this acoustic performer in Pittsburgh. The money was very good. And, you know, I had two gigs that were supposed to happen last week. I was going to make put a nice extra chunk of change in my pocket, and that all is gone. We're going to pull the creative resources here today and throw some ideas around about what you can do and what we can all do to, you know, to move forward from here. It is still brand new. You know, it's only still really only a couple of weeks old. For some of us, just like a week old in terms of the restrictions and things like that. So this is what we want to talk about today, what we want to focus on. I have Joe and Carrie here. It's going to be great to get Carrie's perspective from halfway around the world, you know. And so let's get into it, guys. I'm going to throw a question out there. Uh-huh. And I want you guys to kind of talk about it. So is the glass half empty or is the glass half full? Is this a time of opportunity or is this, are we, you know, bend over and kiss your ass goodbye?
Well, I'll tell you what, this situation would have been the second one 10 years ago. We are fortunate now that we have infrastructure that we did not have back then. We had internet, but we didn't have it at the level it is now. And so much has moved online anyway, that actually the things we're doing now are the same things we've been doing for the past 5 years anyway. And it's kind of forced the hand, really. What it actually means is a lot of people now who weren't working from home in any way and now have to. Partly they're paying catch-up, but actually they're finding that the infrastructure is already in place to do exactly that.
Yeah.
Because so many people have actually been doing that for all this time. So the sky is... So it's a big deal, make no mistake. And I'm going to think at some point we're going to talk about the overall economy as well. I mean, that's probably a bigger problem, is who's actually going to have money to spend. But putting that aside for the moment, in terms of actually things to do... Those of us who've been working from home anyway are finding that we're sort of much less affected by this. And those that have actually been doing things outside are having to sort of find ways to bring it back in. But the good news is the infrastructure is there to do exactly that. 10 years ago, this would have sucked way more than it does now.
I think that's very true. And I see kind of coming on the outside of this as we moving forward in the next, you know, year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever, that we are all new opportunities and new ways of doing things will arise. Necessity is always the mother of invention. And while there's already, we can get started now because we do have, look, we're having a mastermind and none of us are in the same room together. I mean, and we've been doing that for how long? So there are ways and means to do things, and you will see technologies and you will see ideas are going to come out that will allow more things to be done more remotely. So Joe.
So I do believe that. So I stopped my working at a job and came home and started working 4 years ago. And, you know, that has benefited me. And a lot of people are working from home. A lot of things, people have things to offer. It's just the things that we offer are going to have to change a little bit. And we're going to have to look at the opportunities. But before we get into that, I'm seeing, like, I'm a part of a lot of different entrepreneurs' space. And so my feeds are fed with tons of entrepreneurs. And everybody's telling you this is a time of opportunity, sell, 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 sell. And I think that we should take a step back before then and look at the condition of the average person and make sure that people know, like, I'm always assess yourself, assess your situation before you take action. Okay. And I've said that, know your skills, know your talents, know what resources and time you have. Well, we all have a ton more time now. Okay. But we may not have as many resources. So before you take action, I have a few friends who are like survivalists. Like if they, you drop them in the middle of the woods, what would the first thing they do be? Okay. And most of them, what's that?
Food and shelter.
Right. So the first thing they would do is calm down, like sit down if they can, calm down or get somewhere safe where they know they're safe. That's the first thing you do. So your head's clear. Like if you have to fight, fight. If you have to flight, flight. You know what I mean?
Right.
Then you think, okay, where's my water source? Because we can only live so many days without water. We all have water now. And we all have shelter. We're being closed in our home. So the next thing that comes is food, right? So, you know, me personally, I went out and I bought, you know, 60 to 120 days in food. It's hard to figure out when there's five people in the house, but I bought enough food that I know I can survive at least 60 days. Mm-hmm. Then after that, I thought, well, how do I keep what I have safe if I have to? And we all have our different viewpoints on that. I am very like nonviolent, but if I absolutely have to, I will protect what I have to.
If the shit go down, I'm prepared.
Yeah, no one's taking my child from me. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly.
You're in trouble.
And as we were talking, just to sort of give like a little bigger view on it, real quick, Joe, because a lot of our people follow us are more, you know, maybe not as, you know, down with that. Joe being a very level-headed, calm-minded, not given to like passionate kind of bursts, yeah, outbursts, is probably a good dude to have in your neighborhood. If you have a lot of elderly folks, if stuff would start to get weird at some point, you've got somebody around who, not just to be, we're not talking about standing on your porch and saying, get off my lawn. We're talking about people coming together and maybe protecting the neighborhood if something gets goofy. That's a deeper way of looking at
it. You're ready to fight, so you don't have to fight.
We don't want to fight. Right. And I just want to make sure we're not advocating.
Yeah. It's why I learned martial arts and why I would get into a cage, because in a cage, there was an agreement. Like, this guy's coming in here to test his skills. I'm coming in to test mine. Now, on the street, there is no agreement. So it's, you know, I'm going to defend myself if I absolutely have to. Please don't make me. You know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely.
So once you have all that covered, you know, you have food, you know, you have water, you know, you have shelter, everyone's protected. Then you say, okay, what resources do I have to make myself comfortable? Right. Or what resources can I get? And that's where the internet provides an opportunity. If you know you have those things covered and you have some cash, you have some talents, you have some skills, this is when you need to be learning to entrepreneurs who have been doing this for a while, because you can take advantage of something we've been doing for a long time. And I think that's where, like, entrepreneurs are like, this is an opportunity on a downturn market. It always comes back up. Okay. And it does. Markets change a little on the way back up sometimes because of the conditions. But if you look for opportunity, it is there. But first, take care of your family. And then it's like, okay, I'm home. We're taken care of. What can I do to expand on my resources. So this doesn't last only 90 days. We're in a much better position than we were before. And some of that will create more competition, but it will also create more opportunities. So you just have to have an open point of view. And for musicians, I got tons of ideas we can push through today and look at and see if the audience is willing and open to hearing about. So I want to get you guys' point of view on everything I just said, and we'll go forward.
I would. I just want to say that I will just kind of give my own story about it. I've been dealing with a lot of personal issues anyways. And there is something kind of freeing when something, an event happens that you know you have no control over. There's just no way, even your subconscious mind with all its like past guilt and problems and everything has to kind of admit this is literally something I have no control over. So I found a kind of freedom in that. And after I kind of like got over being freaked out, like, is my business going to close? You know, where am I going to get money and everything? After I kind of got that under, you know, kind of like calmed down, I started to see this as, just as I said earlier, I think that we're going to see some new stuff that we've never seen before in a positive way. As long as we continue to are able to have freedom to talk and to work together and everything, I think that like human beings are insanely resilient and we're going to find ways to do stuff we never thought of doing before. So this isn't the time to get completely free. Have your freak out, you know, please do, like, get it out, like, have your freak out, get drunk, get high, do whatever you got to do to kind of get, you know, jump, go outside, jump up and down, scream, whatever you need to do. And then once you've had your moment, then start thinking. Allow your mind to think. Like Joe said, look around. What kind of resources do I have? What's available? What's in front of me? What talents do I have? What things maybe I've just been kind of setting on the shelf here about me, my personality? Like Carrie always talks about the home base, all the little things that make up you. What are all kind of things laying around here that I could start to kind of maybe bring to the world virtually that would start to help set me up as a leader or as somebody to pay attention to in my niche? Because this is another reason this is a good opportunity is we're going to take advantage of those people that will not recover. And I don't mean take advantage of them, but take advantage of the fact that they aren't going to recover. They're not going to do anything. They are going to freak out. There's going to be tons of people. I've already seen a lot of people that were advertising on Facebook I liked their ads. They had cool stuff, music related stuff, gone. They stopped. So there's a space now for people who are a little bit, you gotta have some cojones, gotta grow a set and kind of start putting yourself out there, start feeling and see what you can do in this, in the space that's being provided. So this is, you know, the market goes down, the market goes back up, it changes. We aren't ever going to go back to exactly the way that it was, because we know that these things are out there now, and governments and businesses and stuff like that are going to have to in the future take precautions, because COVID-19 could become COVID-20 next winter, you know. So we have to. So we're going to have a little different world, just like the world changed after 9/11, just like the world changed after the Cold War. Some of us are old enough to remember that the world changed after that. So this isn't necessarily a bad time. The other thing I want to propose to you guys about creativity: has anybody else noticed whenever we have world changing events through history that art changes? It ushers in a new sound and music. It seems like music, movies, novels, all that area changes whenever these things happen. In a couple of years, you have a whole new, like after the Cold War, all of a sudden, all of a sudden, you know, music shifts, we get movies are different, like Quentin Tarantino comes out, like all these different things kind of happen. They're really, really exciting. So be thinking in that way, guys. Be thinking about, like, wait a minute, you know, is there new sounds here? And am I going to be collaborating with new people because of the internet? So I can't play with my band. Okay. However, maybe Carrie and I can work together. There's other people in this group here that could work together. You know, download Reaper or something like that and start. You know, once you, as Joe says, once you have your, you know, yourself, you know, you're cool with everything, it's something we could start doing. Comment on that, guys. Go ahead.
Right. Well, first of all,
ignore that and say whatever you want.
No, I'm carrying on with that, how things are changing. And it's good to see this. I mean, like, I don't know how different it is here in the UK to how it is over in the States. I think on the on a practical level, I don't know how much there is. I mean, basically, we are adapting. I mean, the government are sort of pretty much winging it as we go. We try to avoid politics here, but I think we've both got quite similar guys at the helm right now, for better or for worse.
Right.
Worse. Sorry, my opinion only. What this does mean anyway is that no matter what it is, people will step up. As you said, necessity is the mother of invention. The fact that most people have been able to get towards working from home, most companies I know have been. I've had to deal with various people over the past week. And what they've done is they have just put them so that most people are taking calls from home and still doing their office jobs there. The other thing is the world hasn't ended. Chickens are still laying eggs. Cows are still making milk. Food is still being produced. What's difficult now is the logistics of getting it there. And that's why when our government produced their list of key vital workers, the people who are going to be especially supported and who can still send their kids to school, they included in that list delivery drivers. Because that logistics side of it is going to be so important, because so many people are going to need things brought to them now. And they can't just go out to the shop and get them. But there is not a shortage of stuff so much. I mean, maybe stuff that's imported. But, I mean, we still have industries there. But the logistics of actually getting it is what's difficult. But even that adapts. And because so much has been bought online for so long now, that infrastructure does exist. And it isn't that much of a leap now about making it work in this situation. So there's that. And in terms of the more information side of it, the stuff that happens in offices, again, we've been able to take that into doing things online. And there's been extra strain on the ISPs and the internet companies. But again, because so much now for the last few years has been built on streaming media and has been built on faster broadband and greater capacity, that meant that's what I mean, is 10 years ago, it would have been all over. The network would never have coped with the amount of extra activity going on. But now it can, because the infrastructure has been built up over time, that people can work from home. And then it's just going to take that little bit of thinking in other ways to make it happen. My university work, that's working distance. All my students are coming to me. We're also using another Zoom-like platform there. And some of the things, one of the things that occurred to me there, you mentioned before about collaborations. I've just been looking for a tweet, actually, by one of the education guys here. He's shared a lot of other stuff today, so I'm not finding the tweet. Here we are. I've got it. I'm going to read this. This is Dr. Ian Pace, who is an academic in London.
Not Ian Pace, the drummer from Deep Purple.
No, I don't think it's him, no. This is a classical guy. But anyway, one of the things here, I'm going to read this tweet verbatim. An emphasis on musicological writing for a while has been upon music as a social activity, collaborative work, etc. But at this time, the value of the isolated sole artistic creator will come into its own. Now, I haven't replied to this yet, but what I'm going to say to him is yes and no. Because on the one side, there are certainly his thing is about research and musicological research, where they will study things and they'll talk about it. But there's musicians working that way as well. I work that way. All of my stuff is completely DIY and put out there. And there's a lot of other people who make music the same way. And then when they go out to play live, it's forming the band to recreate what they've done on their own. But the other thing that's happening now, and again, this is something that's been in sort of in the shadows, is online collaborations. And the lecture I'm going to give my students next week will be all about this. Will be about how to do distance collaborations. And a lot of people have been doing exactly that. They will share. Well, I mean, Lou, you and I have done it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm actually doing it.
You sent me a bunch of stems. I did it.
Yeah. And I'm actually doing it with two other people right now as well. But yeah, go ahead.
So that's that. And then there's platforms like BandLab that will let you actually work on a track together in real time. There's sort of like
what's it called, Kerry? What's it called again?
That one's BandLab. BandLab is
BandLab.
BandLab is quite basic in the features. Other platforms are available, but that one's free. But it's a good example of that sort of like a real time collaborative thing. is that everybody can come in and work on the same project at the same time. And certainly producers, I mean, this goes, I mean, not just in the past 10 years, in the past 20, 30 years. We were doing this in Zeitgeist Zero back in the 2000s. And before then, where you would send stems to somebody. Generally then, we had to send it on a CD. We weren't able to send it online in the same way. Or if we did, it had to be a file at a time. That's another way where the infrastructure was caught up with the need. The fact now that we can send massive projects overline,
yeah,
online just like that. So things all like, this technology think, exists.
Apps like Dropbox and Google Drive and Send This File and stuff do allow you to send really complex and large files. You know, so that's a good point. Go ahead.
So, yeah, I mean, hell, we're doing it right now. This conference is taking place across the Atlantic Ocean. And we're doing the show that way. So, we're in a situation where everything is there, that everything can be done collaborative. And I think maybe people are going to realize that actually all this stuff that they need to do now has been being done for quite a long time. They just haven't noticed it. And now it's time for that to become the norm.
Joe, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah. So off the top of my mind, Lou, you were saying about how you took a second and, you know, once you cleared your mind, you realized there was opportunity. For me, this made me do things that I had been planning on doing anyway for a long period of time and just didn't. You know, like starting a garden, getting my son homeschooled, all that kind of stuff. But as far as collaboration with musicians, there's all kinds of things I'm seeing in the social media coming up now. So if you've already been involved in social media or you're thinking about getting involved in social media to share your music, collaborate with musicians, you know, there's people out there doing Insta concerts right now where they're like doing concerts together over the internet. They're using TikTok and taking little clips of their music and putting it on TikTok to get that attention. And I got some really cool ideas on how to take the marketing side of things and funnels that we've created for like product launches and do a CD launch funnel, as well as, you know, we do virtual summits in the marketing industry. And instead of a summit, you know, doing a virtual concert, like, you know, the lead up to getting people to come to the Insta concert or come to a YouTube live of you guys doing music together. There's all kinds of opportunity right now and you have time. So like, you know, Lou, if the auto business is slowing down, you know, can you put more attention on or put additional attention on creating more music over the next couple months and entertaining people? You know, Germany and Italy right now, they're singing to each other from the rooftops just to create that connection. You guys are musicians. If they're doing it and creating a connection because music brings people together, why can't you as musicians do it and do it in a professional way just online?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're seeing more people do that.
Yeah.
And those are the, you know, we have some members of the group that are camera shy and I've been trying to get them over that. And this is the time to kind of, if you haven't done that, this is a good time to do it. The guys that have the advantage though, are the people that have been doing YouTube podcasts, et cetera, for a long time.
Because, and Twitch gigs.
Yep.
Because
I was doing a quick, search on Google for platforms. I know John Ojaka had one and I was signed up for it and I can't find it right now. Platforms for doing this. And you mentioned Twitch. So I know you can live stream. You can live stream to Google. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You can Google. Live stream to YouTube. You can live stream to Facebook. We know all that.
Right.
What is Twitch? What is that, Kerry?
Twitch is the bread and butter of Twitch is gaming. And that's when you get the things where people will do live streams of them playing video games and talking to people as they play the video games. Mostly that takes place on Twitch. So that is a live streaming platform that's been used for that. But it can be used for other things too, and people have done busking there. There have been other platforms that have come, like there was one called Busker, I don't know how that's doing now, but that was set up.
It might find a resurgence.
But that's, I mean, like, I mean, if I rewind a little bit, I first became aware of this way of operating about 2 or 3 years ago. And I can tell you the day that I realized that this thing was a possibility was when I was sitting with my wife and she had Instagram TV on and we were watching an artist. And that's another thing. Visual artists have been doing this. And what it would do was he would be creating his artwork on camera in real time. And he'd be talking to the people who are on Instagram while he was doing it. And he'd even be asking them to help him make decisions. Like, it's like if Bob Ross was taking suggestions from you. He's saying, do you think I should put a tree this way? What sort of flower do you think I should put in on this? Maybe I should use this pencil or this paintbrush. What do you think? And then he'd be doing it and he'd be creating the artwork as you go in real time and talking to everybody. And then when it was all over, he said, right, here it is, the finished piece of work. And I'm going to put this on my shop right now. And then I'll come back and I'll do another one. And he did. And he had it right on his shop there. And he's got an audience of about 50 people there who've just shared that experience of him creating that work. And now they can go and buy it. And then he'd do it all again. And I thought, that's fantastic. And what he's doing here is online busking. Exactly the same as the guy making pavement art on the street. Only he's doing it online.
Well, the other thing you guys, another way of doing that is to perform. As you're performing, rerunning it through Reaper and recording it, and then offer that recording, say that this recording is going to be available in 3 days. Here's where you can go and order it. And, you know, so now you have recorded a live album. Mm-hmm. Is basically what you've done. Now, if you're a band, it's a little harder. But, you know, I think people are going to be a little less like poo-pooing things like, you know, creating some backing music to play to. So, I mean, I think that's going to be like becoming way more common. So you can even have some tracks on there if you're like somebody who's, you know, music is a little more electric or whatever, and you still want to do that. So there's a lot of ways to do that. In terms of putting things off that you've been meaning to learn or do during this time, what about learning to record and mix yourself? Mm-hmm. It's free. Carrie? I mean, Carrie's a penny pincher on stuff, man. Like, he and I work together. Everybody's like, no, don't buy that app. Look, we'll just, I got this thing for free.
I buy stuff when I need to, not when I don't need to.
Right, exactly. So we can even put a list in the group of the best apps to use for people who are like going like, I want to record. I don't know how to do it. And, you know, I always tell people Reaper, because you can use Reaper indefinitely without paying, and the forums and everything are really good, and there are tons of YouTube videos. It's all kind of stuff I learned. I do this in Reaper?
I will say about Reaper is Reaper is not a beginner's door. If you're
GarageBand,
not used to
if you have a Mac, you get GarageBand. Yeah. So GarageBand.
Yeah, I mean, like, GarageBand is Logic Lite. If you've only really used things like GarageBand or whatever, then fine, that's all right. I mean, like, ultimately, you use what's right for you. But I will warn that Reaper probably has a bit of a steeper learning curve if you're starting from scratch. Logic has all little pictures, and it's pretty much all set out for you what goes where. To a fault sometimes, it means that when you want to do something particular in Logic, you have to get away from Apple want you to do it their way. I'm not really fond of Logic for that reason, because I often want to do something.
Well, you know what? Let's do another show. Let's not take all those platforms apart at the moment. Yeah. Let's just put them out there, and we will do a podcast on those platforms. We'll do a top 10 apps you need, you know, to record your own record. How about that?
I think it's a good idea to create a file and put that in the group.
Yeah,
have a list.
Yes, I think it's a great idea. So we will be doing that as well. And Carrie and I can contribute to that. Yeah. And anybody else who's listening, and I'll put a thing in the group too. I'll ask people for what apps they like to use. Because that's not the recording apps. Those of us that like to get a little more fancy, there's all kind of sampling apps and things like that you can get that are totally free if you can put up with a couple ads. And I know that there is multi-track recording for these things too, for your mobile device and your tablet.
Well, what I just described, BandLab, is something you can do online for free right now. and you can go and you could record a track and put it out just on free online doors. Another thing that I've never actually done, but I've had sort of as a project I want to do one day, is where I would just set a project, set a budget, about £100, $100. And that is the sum total of all the amount of money you're allowed to spend on making a record and getting it out there. And that includes instruments, platforms, recordings, because I want to prove it's fucking possible. So many times I've heard over the years that if you're not ready to spend all this money and then forget it, you shouldn't be doing it. Just kill all your dreams right now. Don't go and work in a subway. Forget about ever writing a song. You suck. No. If you've got creativity, and this is the thing, no producer ever, the starters, probably the ones who've created the best stuff, always started with a pot to piss in. And they had the 808 and 303s in house music. They became big. When they first came out, they completely tanked because they were being sold as alternatives to live drums and live bass. And they were crap for that. But then the house producers at the time, or the electronic music producers, who had no money, but just found these things in the bargain bins of music shops all around New York, then started looking at them, thinking, actually, all right, they're not good for that. If we use them this way, you've actually got a distinctive sound. And there is no way you will ever find a TR-808 or a TB-303 in a bargain bin now. Now they go for thousands.
Yeah.
They didn't when they came out.
Right. There's a lot of stuff like that. So there are ways to do this, and there are, even if you feel like a total moron about this stuff, and sometimes I do. I mean, I know in the beginning I didn't even know how to like turn the damn thing on. My first recording software was Cubase, and that was anyways, YouTube wasn't what it was at that time and everything, but now there are people that will handhold you through on a YouTube video how to do anything you want to do. So, you know, YouTube is your friend, podcasts are your friend, et cetera. So let's talk about some other things. Online collaboration, getting that, maybe, you know, doing an online concert, recording it, and then now you have a CD. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, those online concerts, you said earlier about bands. There are many bands that have been doing this for a long time. It's been part of it. I keep mentioning Steam Powered Giraffe as an example. They are a band that have built their careers on all kinds of new media. They started out as a new media project.
And the other thing you could do, and if you want to monetize, which we're not talking about just yet, is you could stream the concert, then turn it off and make it only available to your Patreon people if they want to review it. They want to go back and watch it again. So a lot of these platforms allow you to do things like have the audience interact with you. It's so funny. You probably remember this, Gary, but I believe it was the early 2000s, maybe late 90s, early 2000s, David Bowie did a live concert on the A&E network, and he took requests. So people would call in. He had an in-ear thing, and people would call in now, and the band played every one of the songs that people requested. So it was a very beginning. It was like the first time I ever saw anybody do anything like this, where they did a live stream. They didn't stream onto the internet. They streamed onto cable television, but they made it interactive with people who were watching in the television audience as opposed to just the people who were in the actual audience. And people called and requested songs. So go back and watch it. It's available on YouTube if you haven't seen it. It's absolutely fascinating. So those are the kinds of things you could do. Let's move, though, to I wanted to move on to something else before I said that. Online busking, we talked about that. We covered Don't Freak Out, Calm Down, Look Around You. BandLab for collaborations. What else? If you start that YouTube channel, start that podcast, or start that blog, all right? Start doing one of those or all of those things right now, especially if you are stuck at home. I'm in a what they call an essential business, so our business is still running. But start doing those things. Also, start teaching, showing others what you already know. If you're skillful with Reaper, if you're skillful with sampling, if you're skillful on the guitar, if you're skillful with singing, start sharing that in one of these three formats. And start getting it out there. You will find that you can eventually monetize those things by like teaching lessons or just, you know, bringing others around you. We're going to eventually monetize this group that we have here on Facebook. So this is
a good time. Notice the word eventually in this.
Exactly. So it takes a little time. You're not going to make money tomorrow, but this is a way to start getting that out there. Even if all you do is freaking start a Facebook group and start going live every day and, you know, and entertaining the people in that group. I mean, just anything like that, this is the time to start all of those things. One of the things I'm going to be doing during this time is I am teaching people podcasting. I'm not teaching people podcasting. I'm doing done for you podcasting for people. And Joe, you'll be proud of me. I believe I already have my first client. He's a real estate agent. It's not music related, but because I know podcasting, I looked at everything I know how to do, and I'm going like, well, what could I do for people that they don't want to do or don't know how to do themselves? And right before we went on the call, I texted another woman I know who's a health coach, and I know she should absolutely have a podcast. So she's a good friend of mine. She's got money too. So I know that, you know, so I'm looking at all these different things that I'm doing. So anything you've been putting off, another thing, you know, is there a musical skill you're weak on that you would like to improve? This is a chance to work on that. One of the things I'm really weak on is singing harmony. I start singing with you, you start singing with me. I want to go to your pitch instead of staying on my own pitch. So this is something that like, I'm going like, well, no gigs, can't go out to bars and restaurants. I can't, you know, feed my monkey with partying and everything. So I will improve my singing, my guitar playing, my songwriting.
We call some multi-tracks. That is so easy to fix now.
What is just that? What did you say?
That is so easy to practice. Get a door going, get it on a loop, do your top part. This is how I do all my vocals, and I've got harmonies left, right, and center on my.
Oh, you are like the harmony king. Carrie has a record, an acapella record that he released. That talk about balls, and it's really good. If you've not, is this still out? Can people still get it?
Oh, Unangelic Voices, isn't it? It's sort of become part of my main thing now.
Man, it is so very good, Carrie. That is really freaking good.
So this is part of my sound is like all these like layered vocals that I'll do and live looping. But this is the thing you can do, and hell, this is something else you can just do. I did it just with an iPhone when I started. I just got a looping software where I'd get a pattern going, and that meant it had to be tight what you recorded into it once you were doing the loop. But once you got the hang of that, that immediately made you focus on that, and it made you tighten up everything. And after the time, you start looping it all. You get instant feedback on what's working, and when you start playing with that, it's like everything else. I say this anytime you're practicing anything in terms of music. You're getting into a point where you get into a role there. If you treat practice as a chore, it will be a chore and you won't practice. But when you do practice in terms of like, and starting with the skills and getting the technical things that then build towards something creative, these are the times when you'll end up doing something round and round. And then you look at the clock and 8 hours have passed and the sun's come up outside. It's like, That is how you practice, is you get started doing something creative, and you get it working in context.
Right, exactly.
And so, exactly the same with recording harmonies.
So there are other things that you guys could be doing. I've been working for the past week or so on my guitar technique. There's certain things that I'm trying to, the problems I've been trying to solve with that for a long time. I'm like, okay, I'm going to work on that. Joe's been a little quiet for the past 10 minutes or so. Well, we want to chime in on some stuff. I see the hamster on the wheel. What do you got, bud?
Actually, no. I mean, when it comes to creating the music itself, I don't know much. I'm not a musician. I really loved what Carius said about creating the artwork. I'm more the, the guy that helps create the CD cover, helps create the T-shirt after the music's created, helps promote the music. So there's a lot of opportunities once you create your first song. Let's put it this way, okay? So I just said there's a lot of things that I didn't do previously, and now that I'm shut in, I'm doing, like starting my garden, homeschooling my kid. I was already working from home. But if you've been sitting on the fence on creating music and you're listening to Lou and Carrie talk, there's tons of way to learn and prove what you're doing. And then from there, all you need is one song. You create your first song, and then we can put together a plan for you to create a song a month and have a CD by the end of this year. So throughout this pandemic, throughout this crisis, if you have all your necessities covered you can concentrate and become that musician you always wanted to be. And, you know, as far as creating the artwork, creating the systems to sell the music, and getting the, like, visual aspects of it taken care of, that's all easy. Everybody's telling you, you know, Fiverr's a big deal now. Everybody's going to get things on Fiverr. There's people like me available. Work on the thing you love during this time, once your necessities are covered, and push yourself to be that person that you always wanted to be. So, you know, hopefully we're talking to a lot of musicians. So, like, create music like they're talking about and collaborate with others online to make that happen.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. What should people be thinking about? Because I have a buddy of mine. He's a musician, and but he also has a video business. He shoots a lot of commercials. A lot of commercials, Joe, that you and I have seen on local Pittsburgh TV. Patrick has created. His name's Patrick Duff. And you know, he ran a post on Facebook the other day saying, you know, this is not the time to not advertise. This is not the time to not market. Like, and this is kind of goes back to what I was saying about everybody kind of getting ahead of things. If you can have the budget or or you have the time or whatever to put that marketing in place and keep doing it. So what would be your advice about people in terms of getting, you know, continuing with getting their message to their niche out there?
It's the time to play around with things like TikTok. TikTok's huge right now. Like, all the entrepreneurs that aren't musicians and aren't dancers are moving over to that platform. You know, people who sell courses and stuff like that, they're starting to move over to that platform because they're seeing results. Well, TikTok was created for your niche. Like, initially, it was dancers and musicians. No one else was doing it. You know, and now, you know, people are doing funny videos and stuff like that. But initially, it was you guys. You know, you got Insta concerts, stuff like that. You have YouTube Live, Facebook Live. You've got tons of places where, as long as you're okay with playing your music, and you don't have to show your face at first. I would suggest that you do, because that's going to build your brand.
Right.
But at first, you could just play the music itself. It just start creating and create little videos and just get used to putting something out there. And guys, to be honest with you, like, you're not the only ones doing this. So there's tons of people right now trying to go online just to keep themselves entertained. Mm-hmm. And the person who creates the content is going to be the person who's farther along when this all starts to upturn, not the people who are consuming it.
Something else I'll say from this is be motivated by the competition.
Yeah.
That is so important. There's so many people, and especially, and because I see this with a refresh on the net when I'm writing, because I see people from the other side as well as my side. So many people that will come to a certain level but are terrified of going outside of their comfort zone or can't handle even a little bit of criticism. And so they just want to stay in the comfort zone because of that. Conversely, once you get out there and you realize there are so many people doing this, and there are so many people doing this really, really well, and in order to compete with them, you have to do something different, and you have to do something at least as well as they're doing it, that can drive you. I've been a musician pretty much all my life. I've been doing this, that means about 40 years now. But I would say I've probably improved more in the last 5 years than I have in any 5 year period up till now. I've not been a slouch. I've been practicing. I've been learning. But in those 5 years, I've got 3 albums worth and other stuff there. And they are ones I've gone on a journey with. And so it's made me become a better producer. It's made me become a better songwriter. It's made me look at what people actually want when they listen to my music and get what my message is. And I'm still not there. I'm still not as good as a producer as I'm going to be. I'm still not as good a musician as I'm going to be. You never are. One of the things is I always want everything I do to be technically better than the last thing.
Right.
But what will keep you driven there is when you look out and you see so many people who are doing it, who are doing what you want to be doing and doing it better, then you should be looking at those and thinking, what are they doing that I'm not doing? Great, I'm going to do that now. And then when you do that, you'll find something else. Always be chasing.
Make sure that...
at any time when you think you've reached your comfort zone, when you feel like you've reached your level and you can do no better, at that point, your career's over because there's nowhere to go. You always need to be checked. You mentioned before about martial arts. Mm-hmm. I've done martial arts a little bit myself, probably not as much as you have, because I think you actually fight. But one of the things that I'd always heard about with martial arts as well is so much of it is about the journey. And when you are going, when people say it's all about getting your black belt, now I'm a black belt, I'm the guy now, completely missing the point. Because it's always being about putting yourself in front of someone who can kick your ass, and then figuring out how to get stronger so that they can't kick your ass, and then you find someone else who can kick your ass. You should always be looking for somebody who's better than you to drive you forward.
Yeah, you always want to practice with someone who's better than you. Mm. So one of the things I want to say to what you just said, Kerry, is yes, you should always be trying to improve yourself and always be trying to push yourself. Don't look at other people online as, you know, because they're better than me, you know, I shouldn't do this. And I'm guilty of this.
So am I.
You know, you want to look at it as, you know what, I'm on my journey and I'm starting and I'm going to put out the best I can put out. And if you're going to look at them, and like Kerry just said, to improve yourself, to build up, to get better. I've held off things in my life because I was afraid, and it held me back. Yes, have I done martial arts and got into a cage? Yes, I did it because I was scared, and I didn't like being scared. Okay? It wasn't because I think I'm a badass. It's because I was terrified, and I didn't like that feeling. You know, and there's other things in life that have held me back. But with what we're going through right now, you can either look at it as, okay, I'm going to run into my hole and hide, or I've already lived my life and it may have held me back being afraid in the past. But what's more scary than not having food or getting a virus that may, and I'm going to emphasize may so I don't get in trouble, may kill me? There's nothing more scary than that. So if you've lived your life in fear up to this point, and I'm kind of talking to myself and you guys, you know, has it served you? And if it hasn't, then do those things that you were afraid of before, because they're probably what you wanted to do in the first damn place. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm allowed to cuss.
I meant to say at the beginning, like, if you can't hear a swear word, then this isn't a podcast for you. Yeah. there's a lot there. Everybody's afraid of stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. You see people that do stuff that's very ballsy and everything, and sometimes, I mean, there's different ways of looking at it. Sometimes they're doing just as Joe said, because they are afraid and they don't like that fear, they don't want fear to master them, so they're going to grab this thing by the cojones and they're going to go out and do it. There is also this idea that, like, where you're in this space where we're kind of all free falling at the moment, and there really is no safe space. We just, you know, you might as well go for it. Like, cause like, if once you're facing the fact, as Joe said, a virus that is mm-hmm. possibly, you know, life threatening, or, you know, not being able to eat or not being able to pay mm-hmm. your rent or whatever. Okay. Those are here now. We're in that. So being afraid of putting yourself out there musically or like going forward with your music career, like that's like a small fear now. Like that's like easily managed in light of all this new crap. So I think that is a very good way of looking at it. You said it very, very, very well, Joe. I just wanted to kind of give another little sort of view on it. Kerry, you got anything else to mm-hmm. add, buddy?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, but even you say about what you're scared of as well, and you said about, and just about the virus that may or may not kill me. It won't kill me, but it probably would kill people in my family. And that's worse.
That's scary.
That's why we're self-isolating. It's not
right.
And this is what some people don't get, is the people who can't see beyond themselves and say, I'm going to go out and do it anyway because this virus can't kill me.
Well, I'm not saying not the self. Yeah, I'm not saying self-secure.
I get that. But I'm saying, like, the thing there is, because the whole point there isn't just about what it will do to you personally. It's about the people you care about.
Right.
And even from a marketing point of view, you can't sell to dead people.
Yeah, everybody dies, of a year, you know, then pretty much.
Yeah, hopefully that's not what we're all focusing on. Yeah. You know, it's supposed to be about growth.
Yeah, sure. But
and saying, hey, follow me, let's be safe and let's grow together.
Yeah, I mean, and absolutely. Nobody here is advocating, none of us, by the way, I just want to clear this up. None of us are advocating saying, fuck it, you know, I'm going out and playing gigs or whatever. I'm going to throw a big kegger in the woods. And, you know, we're not telling you to do that. You know, we got to be safe. We're telling you to, I don't believe as of yet you can catch the coronavirus from the internet. So that appears to be safe. So, so this is the same way to do it, guys.
That form has not yet been isolated.
So, and it's also a way to be, and I just want to end with one more idea about this isolation, because quite frankly, guys, I ran a post on my personal page about, you know, what's the thing you're going to do once this is kind of like mitigated or taken care of, and everybody wrote all kinds of stuff. One of the things I wrote was I would want to go back to playing gigs. One of the things I miss is I miss a freaking hug. I have an auto business. I'm Italian. I hug my customers. You know what I mean? We're very casual with people and everything. A lot of our customers are people we see socially and things like that. And so it can feel very isolating during this time. So, you know, don't be afraid, guys, to, you know, let's, you know, interact in the group. Let's talk. I mean, it's the best we can do is to, like, just lean on each other for, you know, emotional support, talk to each other. You know, I've got a couple of Facebook groups. Carrie does. Everybody. So let's, you know, this is a good time to, you know, and if you guys want to come on to the call, let us know. We can give you the information. We can all talk about what's on your mind. So, yes, somebody said, I heard an author the other day say, let's not call it social distancing. Let's call it physical distancing, because socially we're social creatures and we need connection, even if it is virtual. I love these two guys that we do this with every week. And I'm really grateful that we have this. We're able to get together and hash these kind of things out, even though sometimes we disagree and stuff. That's just what makes the world go round. But don't be afraid to do that. Start talking to your other musician friends. Start talking to your band members. Start talking to guys in other bands. You probably have musicians who are following you who are from different parts of the world, different parts of the country. Hit them up. Chat them up. Say, what's going on? What do you think about this? You know, and maybe you can find collaborations in there, writing together, working together. Maybe you start a podcast with them. You start doing video work with them, something like that. So don't be, you know, it's the time to reach out and connect with people, even though you can't do it physically. No, honey,
we'd love to have, love to have musicians on here with us, because I know me, like this mastermind makes me feel better, builds my confidence. I didn't like to go live at all until I started working with Lou and Carrie. You know, so it's made me a better person, and my heart feels lighter after this call than it did previously. So, you know, Zoom is free. It's 40, you know, for 40 minutes with multiple people. You can get it and start your own mastermind if you want to. And we'd love to have you on here if you're a musician, because we want to see your opinions about what we're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. The more the merrier. Carrie, we're going to wrap up after this.
Something else I'll say about music as well. One last thing. There's a guy who's one of my colleagues at Fashion the Net. And Tom Roberts interviewed him a couple of weeks ago on his show. This guy called John O'Casson. And one of the things he said in that interview that was absolutely bang on the money, he said, there's the music industry and there's the music community. Now, the music industry, it's all right, but it's a nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. But the music community, that's where it's at. Because that's where everyone who's in there is doing it at a DIY level, who's doing it to be better. And the people who will buy the music, the people who will come together because they love music. That is the music community. So if you think about the music community rather than just thinking about the music industry, straight away you will start finding openings that you didn't know were there.
Excellent. Anybody got any Joe, anything you want to add before we wrap up?
No, I think my last point is what I want to leave with.
All right, guys. Thanks for hanging out today, everybody. Special shout out to Carrie. Carrie, what's your website again, buddy?
KJKmusic.co.uk, where you'll actually find my new video, which came out yesterday.
Nice. See, this is what we're talking about. You're releasing music, you know, as if like, you know, it's, and people are looking for new stuff. So good for you. Joe, plug your website and contact.
Actually, right now, I'd rather everybody go to LouLombardiRocks.com. That goes to a bot that both me and Lou monitor, and that I can serve you musicians better there.
Okay, LouLombardiRocks.com. Yeah, that will bring you into everything, the different communities that I have, my own music, my podcast, stuff like that. So, yeah, LouLombardiRocks.com is where you want to go. Guys, thanks so much.
That's all one word, yeah?
LouLombardiRocks.
No hyphens or underscores or weird things like that. Just
simple,
one word.
Simple. I was able to snag that domain and I got it. Although I lost LouLombardi.com. That's another story for another podcast.
That baseball rock and roll crossover site was gnashing its teeth. But yeah.
So in any case, guys, LouLombardiRocks.com if you want to reach out and get involved in the community. Thank everybody for watching. I had somebody message me on Facebook as we were doing it saying, I'm trying to share the video. Why can't I share it? Because this is a closed group, closed Facebook group. If invite people to the group, if you're a member of the group, invite them to the group or send them to LouLombardiRocks.com. That's the better way to do it because we're trying to build our list. But, you know, invite your friends, share that link, LouLombardiRocks.com, and we'll make sure they get to where they got to go. All right, guys, have a great week, and we'll see you on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus Musicians Mastermind.